Looking to get rewarded just for spending? With our You Choose debit card's reward program, you can earn points every time you swipe. Redeem your points for cash back, gift cards, travel, and more. It's your money. It pays to spend smarter. Enroll today and make your debit card work as hard as you do. Visit Security State Bank today and start earning with You Choose Rewards at no cost to you. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
Saddle Ridge Rehabilitation Center at Westview is your only Medicare 5-star rated and state deficiency-free rehabilitation facility in Sheridan County. It's where quality matters every day. We're here for all of your inpatient and outpatient rehab needs. We treat you like family in a beautiful country setting. Call us at 307-673-3734 for more information and to schedule a tour.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, July 10th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. With me this morning is the City of Sheridan Mayor Rich Bridger and Sheridan Police Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show.
Morning. Good morning. How are you, Floyd?
Doing well. Doing well. How have things been down at City Hall?
They've been good. We're moving right along, and we got budget finalized, and so it's another day. It's just processes, you know, and just working through the next events and the next things that we need to get done. And of course we swing into the summer season, which is road work and, you know, overlay and all that kind of stuff. And so it just it's cyclical. Everything follows as it should, and then you know, like I said, we just got out of budgets, now we move into summer, then we proceed into fall, and then we start talking about snow. So
yeah.
So it's just, all just a process.
Mr. Mayor, to sit here and think about the snow, it hasn't been long enough yet.
No, it hasn't. No. Yeah.
Captain Ringley, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling good. Thank you, Floyd.
Usually I get you on Wednesdays. You're coming in with the city to speak on, yes. I guess, from that perspective today.
I am.
Now, we've got big events coming up. Everything has already kicked off, but I think for a lot of folks, the big start is tomorrow. Captain, what are some of the key preparations the SPD's made ahead of this year's Sheridan Wild Rodeo Week?
Our preparations actually ideally start in about February. That's when we start getting permit requests from all the event organizers, such as the three events downtown, the three nighttime events. Of course, we have the rodeo parade and then the rodeo itself. So we'd like to get a head start on everything. So by this point, we've just plugged names into our schedule, and we're good to go. The event organizers do a fantastic job. They know what works for not only for them, but for the community. And at this point, it's, you know, switch some dates, make some light reviews, and then do whatever we can to facilitate the week.
I know you and I have talked about this, and then I had the Sheridan Wyoming Rodeo Board of Commissioners in here the other day, and we were talking about how the rodeo has adjusted through the years and become a really family-orientated event. And I was trying to draw from memory during the course of the conversation of the things that you've said, what you've seen over the past 20 years, the evolution of how this all came about.
It's definitely been an evolution. And the dividing point was probably COVID. That kind of was a restart, and a couple of the downtown businesses sold. But in my first street dance as it used to be called, was in 2000. I think I've only worked two parades, and every other year I've worked nights. But it was not well regulated.
Yeah.
And that's not a dig at anyone, because I think we overpolice it as well. But it basically downtown was one big bar. Yeah. And the goal was to sell, and I've confirmed this from the old vendors, was to serve as much alcohol as possible. We completely understand that. It doesn't make it a bad event. It's just a different event. And it was different times 25 years ago as well. Now there are three smaller events, all of which are focused towards family. Each one has a band, and they're very well controlled, and they are selling an experience, a rodeo experience, instead of just alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. They really changed even the way that they present it. That's an interesting.
Yeah. And it's, and this is not a dig at the past. Those are the norms.
It
that
was
time.
What it was. Yeah.
But now I think they're businesses, and they do what's best for them as well. And what's best for the community expectation is a family event.
Yeah.
We got a lot of negative feedback, and also a lot of positive feedback. People still love the street dance,
mm-hmm.
but it's just different now. It's more controlled, and it's just better for the community.
Absolutely. And in that situation, you know, people feel better about packing the kids downtown, even during the evening hours, you know, having the kids run around with all that great music out on the street. That's a fantastic experience and a great memory for the little ones to grow up with. And I really liked how you said that, you know, now that they're more along the lines of selling the experience itself,
yes.
Which I think is probably drawn in more visitors, and, you know, even some of the residents who do return during Sheridan's homecoming week, have definitely seen this change. Now, for visitors and residents alike, sir, what's your top, safety advice as, Rodeo Week kicks off?
Like you just said, it's a homecoming week for a lot of people. So not only do we have the rodeo related events, but we also have a lot of class reunions. So like I say all the time, just plan accordingly. We love for people to go out and enjoy themselves in a safe manner, but just make sure you're doing it in a safe manner. Number one is the designated driver.
Yep.
Make sure you can get from point A to point B and you can make it home safely. And closely following that up is, know where your children are. You know, it's probably that time of year to have the conversation, especially to be honest with a young daughter. It's like, no guy over the age of 21 is going to give you alcohol for no reason. It's mm-hmm. because, so just know where they are. Make sure their cell phones are charged, and you just know what they're doing and where they are. And as a parent, you can tell them, you can tell your child you can't do something.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we do really focus on these big events, is we don't want one single incident anyone being victimized, especially a young person.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic advice. Are there particular areas or times that residents should avoid due to congestion or possible closures?
Of course, at night. But even downtown can be navigated, because we're not blocking off Main Street from Alger to Brundage Lane or Brundage Street anymore. So there are ways you can get in and out. This had a little bit of time, especially if you're moving up around the fairgrounds. Already there are a lot of both Kentucky and Victoria are a little congested with all the horse trailers.
Oh wow, yeah,
out there, and that's just they need the space. We understand that. So if you could avoid that area, it might be a little easier on the livestock, the participants, and also on the drivers. Just find an alternate route and take an extra 2 minutes.
Now, can you walk us through any major road closures during Rodeo Week?
Well, the major one would be for the parade Friday morning. And that's basically downtown on Main and Brook Streets. Main and Brooks.
Most people are going to be there, but those who aren't, how can they get past that?
Just go around it. Go down to the 5th or Burkett to access the west side of town.
Yeah, because even though it's a great celebration, there are still some folks that got to make it to work.
Yeah, people still work.
Yep. Now, you've issued guidance about the parade chair placement. Can you explain why the 9 p.m. rule is so important? And I'll throw that out to both of you if you'd like.
Well, essentially, for the stores downtown, you know, they still need parking for their people to come in and out and do business, of course. But then there's also a safety factor there when you have all these chairs lined out prematurely. Police got to do their job. Fire department has to do their job. And so those chairs just become a real hindrance. Mm-hmm. And so there's no reason to have those chairs out in the middle of the afternoon the day before.
Yeah.
So we're just asking people, if you could just wait, put your chairs out at 9 o'clock that night where it really doesn't matter all that much. That's beneficial not only for the vendors downtown, our loyal people downtown who are doing business, but it's also much easier for the general population. They don't have to try to dodge chairs. The police don't have to try to dodge chairs. The fire department, just in case, they don't have to dodge chairs. And it just makes it so much nicer for everyone concerned. Mm-hmm. And trust me, you'll be able to see the parade. So it's not so critical that you get out there first and have that chair out there in the curb. So.
You know, I always think in that situation, what if it was my grandma or my child in that store who had suffered some sort of accident or, let's say, a heart attack, and EMTs were tripping over chairs trying to get to them?
Mm-hmm.
That's if someone hasn't ever been in an emergency situation like that, first off, congratulations. Secondly, they don't understand the critical importance of 2 to 3 seconds.
Right.
So folks, just avoid putting the chairs downtown until 9 p.m. What are some of the specific public safety or emergency response issues that arise from that? Pretty much just what we were talking
just
about.
Access, just access. Yeah, that's all it is really. But then I also just think of all the people downtown that have their stores, you know, they're still trying to do business all that day. So, And that parking becomes critical for them as well, that they need to have parking for people to come downtown. And of course, we have a lot of people in town that over the weekend who want to go downtown and shop and, you know, reminisce, or maybe they're back for their reunion and they want to go down on Main Street. And so it's just, it's pointless to have the chairs out earlier than that.
Yeah, imagine pulling up and trying to get your grandma out of the side of the van.
Right.
And you can't do it because there's chairs downtown.
Right. And so just, it's a small thing. It's not a big thing. So just wait till 9 o'clock and then you can just go down there and put your chairs out and chain them to the poles or whatever you do with them and enjoy the event.
Yeah.
So,
Captain, to your memory, has there ever been an incident like that where those chairs got in the way?
Well, they get in the way all the time of anyone trying to get out of a passenger side of a vehicle. Off the top of my head, there have been times where we have needed to pull up in front of a store or a business or a location, and we haven't been able to. I mean, for emergency responses, it's like you said, seconds matter. What people need to realize, they're leaving those chairs out there at their own risk as well. We're not going to police the chairs.
Yeah.
As to who owns what. It seems like every year we have some fairly ridiculous squabbles. You know, someone's sitting, this person's sitting in my chair, and we're not going to.
Yeah. Over a 2x2 square.
Yeah. We want to keep the peace, and we will. But this 9 o'clock Thursday night would be wonderful.
Now, how can the public help the SPD during events like this to help keep everything safe and moving forward?
Actually, first off, I'd like to mention, you know, the people that don't get enough recognition for all this are the other city departments.
Yeah.
The street department that drops off barricades, and also the crew that cleans up after the parade. We would ask people to avoid downtown for about 45 minutes after the parade. We're going to try to have the barriers still in place, but there's a crew that cleans up behind the parade, and they do a great job. And it can get a little dangerous for them if there's traffic crossing Main Street and crossing Brook. So just, you know, enjoy the day, take your time, don't be in a hurry, but remember the people that are making this happen and also cleaning up afterwards.
That's a fantastic point.
I would say it's no small feat for the city, because we have everybody engaged with it. So we have
all hands on deck tomorrow.
So it's a very good event, and it's a very welcomed event as far as what it brings to Sheridan and the notoriety it brings for Sheridan. But at the same point, it's all our good folks down at City that do all the work in the background to keep it running and make it look like it's a really smooth event.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great because so many people are kind of hiding around the corner, and they're the ones running out there as soon as everything's done, making sure that all that horse mess and everything else is picked up.
Right.
And keeping the city nice for us. Now, is the SPD collaborating with other agencies for Rodeo Week?
We collaborate very closely with Sheriff Dominguez's office. We will be, they actually take the overall responsibility for the actual rodeo. They will have deputies up there, and also we will have officers up there. And this, as always, the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office and Wyoming Highway Patrol are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. They staff accordingly, as do we, and we communicate. And also, I think one of the hidden gems in the first responder community is our ambulance service, the Wyoming Regional Emergency Medical Services. They do a great job in planning, and they're great partners. So they're staffing up a little bit. We don't have to bring extra people in. We readjust some schedules.
Oh, wow.
So we have the peak hours with peak manning. But overall, it's a very smooth process. There's a lot of communication between all first response agencies and the rodeo board, and also the event holders downtown.
Captain, do you give like the big speech before everyone heads out, or do you leave that to the LTs?
There's no big speech to us. It's a smooth event. There's no need for it. It's another night. If this happens to be some different events going on downtown, we have shift briefings, of course, and we have assignments. But as far as pulling, like we used to, we'd have everyone in the old municipal courtroom and giving a rah-rah speech. There's no need for it. You know, we've all been there before, and we're going to act like that.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, on that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. More with the City of Sheridan when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Have you heard of the Sunrise Ruby? A 25-carat gem hiding in plain sight, quietly kept by European aristocrats, until it shocked the world, selling for $30 million. Named after a 13th-century poem, its pigeon's blood red color and flawless clarity stunned experts. Rubies are romantic, passionate, mysterious, and unlike the Sunrise Ruby, surprisingly affordable. Find your own gem at Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story. Visit us at 11 North Main, downtown Sheridan.
Hey, this is Chancey Williams. As many of you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, former saddle bronc rider, a proud UW grad, and lifelong cowboy. I switched to Blue Peak Fiber Internet in Laramie, and happy I did. It's reliable and keeps me in tune with my family, friends, and fans. Casper, Sheridan, and Cheyenne, you can get Blue Peak too. Say it with me. The world needs more cowboys and fiber internet.
Go online to mybluepeak.com to get all offer details for your home and business internet. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop of Miniums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, These Shopominiums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shopominiums and invest smart.
Join the Sheridan Media team as we bring you all the Friday morning parade excitement beginning at 6 a.m. on SheridanMedia.com. Turn your radios to KWIO 1410 AM and 106.9 FM and catch our radio broadcast or watch it live on SheridanMedia.com. From the sizzling pancake breakfast interviews to the adrenaline-pumping sneakers and Spurs run and all the way to the rodeo parade itself, we've got you covered. Spread the word to all your friends across the country and invite them to watch the entire morning show live on SheridanMedia.com or listen on KWIO. Our parade Friday morning coverage made possible through our partners, Century 21 BHJ, First Federal Bank and Trust, Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, Evia Hearing and Sound, McDonald's, Farmers Co-op, Martinizing, Lee Heating and Cooling, Sheridan Memorial Hospital, and Range. Join the SheridanMedia.com team for the best live Friday morning parade coverage ever. Let's get wild Friday morning on KWIO and live on SheridanMedia.com.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm speaking with City of Sheridan Mayor Rich Bridger and Sheridan Police Captain Tom Ringley. Now, Mayor, with the Wyo Rodeo Parade happening tomorrow, what do residents need to know regarding City Hall closures for those who still got to get some business done?
Well, yeah, thank you for that question, Floyd. Basically, we're closed from 10 to 1, so we close City Hall just so everybody can enjoy those festivities. And then as soon as we wrap that up, then we're back open at 1. So if you come there from 10 to 1, you won't get in.
So yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So you just got to wait till about 1 o'clock.
That's it.
Go have some lunch and then
yeah,
you can
enjoy
head on
yourself
down.
And enjoy the parade and
go watch
come
the
back.
Powwow.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Now, can you describe the full parade route this year? Are there any notable changes from the regular one?
Well, not really. I mean, it starts on the north end of town. It goes to the south end of town on Main Street. And then it used to, I don't know how many years back, but at Works, it would go left. But it doesn't do that anymore. It turns and goes right and then goes back down to where it started.
Mr. Mayor, was that COVID that changed that? I can't remember exactly.
Well, originally it was because of, a lot of it was, we had to change the route because of construction of Main Street. So we were rebuilding Main Street, so we had to just basically stay off Main. So mm-hmm. we took the two adjacent streets to Main. And so we found out that that pattern works pretty well to kind of hang a right or a left and then go back down from where you started. And over the years, it was just everybody kind of stayed on Main Street, but when you took the off street, there was really not that much left anymore. And
yeah.
it was just, let's get back to where we started. But now, if you go down there, there's almost all the way down the route, there's people that are watching the event, and they're there not only on Main Street, but their event, they're there for the route back down, and it has just grown and grown and grown. So it's pretty amazing.
Plus, you got those smart kids who get candy on one street, and then they
run
down a block.
Darn kids.
And get candy on the other. Full pockets, full pockets.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic, though, that it's kind of evolved that way. It kind of makes like a big U.
It does.
But it gives people an opportunity. You might be waiting a little bit longer.
There's more elbow room on Brooks than on Works as well. You're not quite as backed up the storefronts.
Yeah.
Crashing into each other.
Again, it spreads it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
man, if you want to see a float twice, just run down the block.
Yeah.
And remember, kids, double the candy. All right. So the powwow at the Sheridan Inn, this is always a big highlight. Folks get finished up with the parade and they run right over there. Can you tell us a little bit about its timing and cultural significance?
Well, this goes way back. back in the day, they used to have an event called All-American Indian Days. And All-American Indian Days, they would basically have their princess or their queen that was representing the tribe. And they would travel throughout the country representing Native Americans. And so that stopped after years and years and years. And so then we did not have any sort of Native Americans involved with our parade. And so it's really nice that we have those folks back.
Yeah.
And so we have our neighbors to the north, and they come down, and they part of the parade. And then we have the powwow afterwards at the Sheridan Inn. And it's just a great event. And it's just very nice to have those folks back in the town and to sort of share that history that we have together.
Yeah, absolutely. And just get like a little sneak peek into, into a beautiful culture.
Exactly.
You know, that's probably one of my favorite events to go down there and watch that. It's absolutely beautiful. Folks, if you've never seen that before, I highly recommend it. Now, let's switch gears on to public amenities. What amenities has the city put out in place of attendees, specifically in terms of restrooms and accessibility?
Well, you know, we're pretty restroom poor down on Main Street. We do have restrooms that are right adjacent to City Hall. And so they have running water and they're actual restrooms that we've created. So in our parking lot that's adjacent to City Hall, you will see a men's restroom, a women's restroom, and then a combined restroom for changing and all that, diapers and all that kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm. But those are the only public facilities that we have down there. Of course, there's other restrooms available as far as the merchants. But, if you need a restroom, are the ones by City Hall are the ones that we offer.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna switch big gears on you because you did bring it up. The fiscal year 26 city budget recently approved. How did it go this year, Mr. Mayor?
I knew I shouldn't have brought that up. it went really well. It was quite a process. It is always every year. You know, we actually start early in the spring, and we just kind of guesstimate what we're going to have and what it looks like for the next fiscal year. And then we sit down with all the department heads, and we sort of create a timeline of how we're going to do things, how much money we have that we think we're going to have as far as for the next fiscal year. And then we just start lining out stuff. And eventually what it comes down to is we have a series of meeting with the department heads. And it's just like, here's our line. This is what we have to spend. And so it's just a process, and we sort of move stuff around. And eventually we get to the point where this is what we think we're going to have. This is where we're going to draw the line and what we can afford and not afford. And then we just wait to the end of the fiscal year and see what we have for carryover and what we can add and what we can't do. And so it's a good process. I mean, we have a really good engagement with all the department heads. I think it's... obviously, we have to offer a budget, a balanced budget, when we're all done. And so I just think that we work together really well.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, this is mine kind of thing, territorial thing. It's just that we all get together and we try to figure out what works best for the city. And that's when we come up with a budget at the end of the year. And it's a good process.
What are the perspectives like? When you're sitting in there, because we've got council members from all walks of life. And so I imagine, are there any heated debates or is everyone pretty cordial?
It's really pretty cordial. I mean, when we get done, when I say we, I mean the department heads and the city administrator, when we get done creating that budget, we present that to the council. And then we have our big meeting where all the department heads and Stu meet with us as a council, and they lay out the budget. And so if anybody has any questions at that time, that's the time they can ask that. But then we have a period. It's like, here's the budget. Here's what we've presented. go back and study it. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to come to the department heads or to come to myself or to come to the city administrator and ask those questions, because we'll get you an answer to those questions. Mm-hmm. And so when we get to the final approval of the budget, we've had literally several months for the council to go through that budget. And if they have any questions, ask those questions. And so it's a pretty seamless event. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, there's always a give and take, and you always got to figure out how much money you have and what you can and can't afford. But at the end of it, we come out with a budget, and it's workable.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, was there any unexpected challenges that came at you this year, or was everything pretty much kind of typical?
Kind of typical. You know, we always, of course, the legislature, that has a lot to do with how we look at our budget for that next year, because not so much this year, but we have direct distribution, and that wasn't on the table this year, so we were pretty sure about direct distribution because it wasn't a budget year in the legislative session. But then that's always the big question, because that's a huge chunk of money that we get from the state as far as how we're going to operate. We're very limited on what we can do as a city to tax folks. I mean, yeah. We have a mill levy that we collect, but that's about all we can do. I mean, we have other things like, you know, plates and those sort of things where we get a stipend off of those. But there's not anything. We have our two optionals that the people have always been good enough to grant us as far as votes for, they want to support those optionals, but then that's about it. So we pretty much know what we have to work with and where we're going to go. And so it's not an unknown of what we're going to have the next year. We pretty much have it dialed in as what we think we're going to be able to do and not do.
Now, for residents who want to dig into those numbers, how can they access the full budget online, sir?
We keep all those budgets right on our homepage at City Hall. We have the current budget that we've approved, and then we have past budgets that we've approved as well. That tab, I think, Chief or Captain, it was... it's on the lower right-hand side of the homepage or something.
Kind of off to the right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's right there with the police reports as well.
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably
so you can, yeah. Yeah, so you can access
the budget.
You can
access a lot of information off of that
website.
Yeah,
there's no secret there. I mean, and of course, we're open book. We don't have a lot of secrets. So
one thing that I really appreciated about City Administrator Stu McCray is the wrap-up. It's kind of a summarization of everything that's going on in the city. That's also accessible on the website. If you really want to know what's going on from each department, they kind of give a report within that. It's almost like a little City of Sheridan magazine, really.
Right.
I mean, it's really informative. Folks, jump on there, check it out. They really keep you up to date on what each department's doing, and they give you heads up. When it comes to certain projects or streets that may need to be closed for a little while. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the City of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
This Wyo Rodeo Daily Schedule is brought to you by Prime Rate Motors, keeping Sheridan rolling strong through Rodeo Week and beyond. No bull, just great deals.
Okay, it's day three of the Sheridan Wyo Rodeo, and the thunder rolls early with the Wyo Carnival kickoff at 4 p.m. with rides, games, and food for the whole family. Arena gates open at 5, and you won't want to miss the World Championship Indian Relay Races. Fast, fearless, and unforgettable as teams battle it out bareback for thousands of dollars in prizes. Then at 7 p.m. sharp, it's Bucking Bronx, Rank Bulls, Roping and Racing, and all-out Wyoming Grit PRCA Rodeo action. After the dust settles, head downtown for the Wyo Rodeo Street Dance. Live music, cold drinks, and good time.
This Wyo Rodeo Daily Schedule is brought to you by Prime Rate Motors, keeping Sheridan rolling strong through Rodeo Week and beyond. No bull, just great deals.
Elevate your summer travel plans. Fly local, fly Sheridan. Bring your loved ones home to Sheridan this busy summer with reliable, comfortable travel through United Express, operated by SkyWest Airlines. Enjoy the convenience of Sheridan to Denver in no time by flying local. Book flights at united.com, the United app, or call United Reservations at 1-800-UNITED-1. Tickets also available on Travelocity, Expedia, Kayak, and more. For stress-free summer travel home, fly local, fly Sheridan.
When hail strikes, call the pros. Nate here with Pro Plus Roofing. Hail can cause damage to your home that may not be visible to the untrained eye. Give us a call for a free inspection and, if needed, a no-obligation estimate. We are licensed, bonded, and insured contractor in all of northeastern Wyoming and an endorsed, certified contractor for Malarkey Roofing Products, Owens Corning, and a CertainTeed Master Installer. Don't trust your biggest investment to an unestablished company. Call the pros. Pro Plus Roofing, 682-0889. In Sheridan, 675-0889.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We're proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. And this morning, we're speaking with the Sheridan Mayor, Rich Bridger, and Captain of the Sheridan Police Force, Tom Ringley. Now, big news. Both of you were involved in the planning for today's big ribbon cutting at Mill Park. Mr. Mayor, I'll start with you. What does this event represent for Sheridan?
Well, you know, for folks that have been around or have paid attention, we've been through a lot of stream restoration down there at not only the Mill Park, but throughout the tributaries of Little Goose and Big Goose Creeks. But especially at Mill Park, we redid that whole runway for the river down there. And so if you go look at the river now, it's not nearly the same. I mean, it still runs the same course, but we've changed how it runs, and it's not a chute anymore. It's a series of ripples that go down into the Mill Park. But it's kind of the completion of that project. And so the Army Corps of Engineers is here not only to do the ribbon cutting for that portion of that project, but for the entire portion. So the general for the Army Corps is going to be here today, and they're going to do a walkthrough of everything that we've done as far as that stream restoration is concerned. And then at the end, we're going to just have a ribbon cutting to celebrate the completion of it.
Now, have we seen any kind of environmental benefits from these steps or stairs?
Oh, yeah, we've seen quite a bit. I mean, used to be it was just a slow, sort of stagnant river that ran through town, and it really was not good for not only the fish habitat, but for all the species, the insects and everything else. So if you go through it now, they've made ripples, and they've made wells, and they've made deep water, and they've made those more environmentally friendly for all the aquatic species that we have in that river. And it's actually quite pretty, and all the work that they've done over the years has made it much more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, and as you said, much more pretty, much prettier, because when you look at that, you know, a channel's a channel is a channel.
Right.
It's kind of boring.
Right.
And it takes away the sound of the water.
Right. And if you go, I think of Thorn Rider because that's where I used to have my office. They actually changed the channel. They changed it back to more of the natural way it was back in the day. And so it used to be this straight current that ran through Thorn Rider. It was flat. It was ugly. It didn't do anything. It was just a it was a channel.
Yeah.
So now they've made it more sinuosity to it. They've added some ripples. They've added some cluster boulders. They've added things that are more fish friendly, habitat friendly. And they've made it into a river that's viable again, and it actually can support species that live in it.
Yeah. You know, when my mother-in-law comes out here, that's the one thing she wants to do. Take me to a creek.
Right.
She wants to see the water.
Yeah.
It's just really part of it. My wife and I go hike up Moisre Gulch because it's right there beside you. And I just get up there and I'll close my eyes and just listen to the sound of that water.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it now is it has that path. The pathway runs around most of it now. So you can take the pathway and walk the river and get some exercise and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. One big reason why a lot of people decide, you know, this is where I want to retire is because they can get out there on those pathways, close their eyes, and listen to the world.
Yeah.
Now, from an infrastructure perspective, how does this project actually blend the environmental improvement with public access and recreation?
Well, just that. It makes it more, with the pathway, it makes it more accessible for people to get out. But then again, it just creates a habitat that you enjoy more because there's more life there. There's fish and there's, you know, the basic wildlife that live along the rivers that you can enjoy. If you go down to Kendrick Park even in the summers, that right across from the ice cream stand there, they put a lot of boulders and they put some ripples in there, but it's just become like the old swimming hole.
Yeah.
So kids are down there all summer long and you'll see them in the creek. They're enjoying it and swimming around. And so it really is a benefit for the entire community.
You know, that's something that I think we lose as we get older, you know, just running down there, seeing a creek and going, well, I'm going to go jump in that.
Yeah.
You know, we all have too many places to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so our next phase, and I don't know how it's going to turn out because it's a lot of money, but our next phase is to get rid of the concrete chutes. That's sort of our last thing that we really want to do is eliminate those chutes that have been there since, I don't know, you know, 40s or whatever, the 50s, I think. And they've served well. They've served their purpose, which was to prevent flooding, but at the same point, they didn't, back in the day, they weren't worried about environmental aspects of it, and so they're not designed to promote life or, you know, creek restoration or be user friendly for the animals and the fish habitat. So that's kind of our next phase, is to see where we can come up with money to do that. And so when we sign off on this particular end of the project, then we move to that, and it's just like, okay, this is a very, very expensive project, so we're going to need some help.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you go for grant funding like that?
Well, that's one of those things where we would have to either, you know, look at the federal level and see what we could do as far as finding money at the federal level to help us pursue that project, because we're talking multi-million dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an immense amount of work that needs to be done with that. And so I'm going to say like 40 or 50 million, but that's a guess off the top of my head, and it's probably low.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you're being conservative with your estimation.
Yeah,
on that.
Exactly.
Now, when it comes to where we're at in the process, have they made any plans at all, or is it just let's secure the funding first and we'll worry about that later?
Well, as far as plans, I mean, we've went through the Corps has walked that and we've walked that. We don't have any like plans on paper that are finalized kind of thing, but the Corps is aware of it. We're aware of it. It's just that process of moving through all the channels to get it to the point where we receive some funding.
So, you see this going on 10, 20 years?
I hope not, but I'm sure that would not surprise me. Yeah.
Now, what is the city's long-term vision for Little Goose Creek as a natural and recreational feature downtown? What would you actually like to see happen if money wasn't an object?
Well, you know, there's plans there. I mean, obviously the chutes themselves, the basic design of the chutes would change. And so we would have pathways. It's all art. It's all drawings and what you would like to see. But, you know, if you look at designs, there's pathways run there along the creek bank there, and there's picnic areas where people can sit there and enjoy the creek. And there's a lot of designs for just making it more user-friendly and giving people access to it. So, but that's what they are. They're designs and they're hypothetical.
Yeah.
In the end, it's just the next phase. So right now, if you go down to the creeks, almost, I'm trying to think, I'm sure there's parts of it that doesn't have pathways, but I'm thinking there's pathways along the creek now for quite a large part of it. So if you really want to walk the pathways along the creek, you can have a great walk and enjoy nature and enjoy what Sheridan has to offer as far as the Goose Creeks.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to switch gears on you and talk about coordination. Both of you have been involved in with the city for a number of years. How has coordination between city leadership and the SPD evolved when it comes to managing large community events like the Wild Rodeo or this, even just this ribbon cutting?
It's always been very good. The department heads and people at my level and people at the line level have always worked extremely well together. Everyone's always recognized it's a team effort. It's not a PD thing or a streets thing. Or a fire thing. It's a city wide effort. Like the rodeo parade is a great example of everyone rolls up their sleeves. We plan early and we plan often. And
yeah.
The relationships have always been fantastic.
Is that where the real work goes in, sir? Is it the planning?
Yeah. Well, from my vantage point, yes.
Yeah.
You know, the real work is done by the
troops the people, on the ground.
The troops on the ground, policing the events, the people cleaning the streets, the people dropping off the barricades. That's where those are the people doing the real work. For us, it's almost the same plan unless there's a new event or something. But we still have to have staff out there doing the work when everyone else is enjoying the parade or enjoying the rodeo or just getting away at going up the mountain, like some people do.
Yeah.
During rodeo week, like people called Floyd.
Absolutely.
So you know, everyone, if just bear in mind those feet on the ground actually doing the work and making it happen.
Yeah, and you know, once again, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm gonna write a story on that. Today, asking people, you know, avoid downtown for about 45 minutes. It's just 45 minutes out of your day. There's other events going on anyway. Let those folks get things cleaned up, put back together, and then flood downtown with your family and your friends and head over to those shops. Now, I'm going to go right along here. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Mayor. What does it mean to you personally and professionally to see projects like Goose Creek Restoration come to life? Or to watch the Wild Rodeo go off without a hitch?
Well, for one, it reflects that I'm very proud of my folks down at City Hall that do all that, and the police and the fire and everybody that worked together well to get those events accomplished. And obviously, it just speaks well to our community. I mean, I'm so very proud of our community. Everybody kind of pulls together. It's a big event that everybody looks forward to. Over the years, I think it has evolved to where it's more of a family event than what it used to be when I was younger. And so it's just become one of those big events within the city of Sheridan, but it's not the only big event. I mean, if you go throughout the year, there's always something happening in Sheridan. There's always those people that are downtown or people that private groups that want to bring people to town or want to make something happen that are proud of their community, that want to show off their community. So it's more than just the city hall. It's more than just the police. It's that idea or that feeling in Sheridan that we are a great community and we want to share what we have with the people that don't live in Sheridan. And
yeah.
So I think when people come to Sheridan, I don't know, I've heard so many times how they just love being here. They love where we sit. They love the natural beauty of it. We're a very dynamic community. We're not just a tourist trap. You know, we have a lot of things going on that are other than that. We have a lot of industry that call Sheridan home. And so we're a dynamic community, and with any dynamic community, it's not just one thing. It's everybody working together. It's everybody believing that we have a wonderful community.
Many colors on one flag.
Exactly.
Captain?
No, I think if you look up vibrant in the dictionary, there's a picture of Sheridan. There are all kinds of things going on all the time, like the mayor said. And I think that the common denominator for them all is there are a lot of good people working together to make these things happen.
Yeah, coming together as a team to show that we truly are the Emerald City, the hidden gem of Wyoming. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning.
No, thank you, Floyd. Thanks, this was fun.
It's always a pleasure having you guys on. Yeah. Happy Rodeo Week, and I hope everything goes off without a hitch.
They will, and be safe, everybody.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Are you ready to take your lawn mowing to the next level? Hendo Service Center brings you Bad Boy mowers, built to last with the promise that you'll be mowing with an attitude. With a Bad Boy, you're not just making grass shorter. You're mowing with power, precision, and pride. Check out Hendo's Bad Boy lineup from commercial to residential mowers. Find the model that fits your yard. Hendo Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive. Get your Bad Boy mower and teach that lawn a thing or two.
Hungry? Busy rodeo week? McDonald's has got you covered, partner, with two Sheridan locations and extended hours so you can wrangle that hunger anytime. Need a quick start before sunrise? Grab an Egg McMuffin and a hot coffee. Craving a hearty meal after the rodeo? Saddle up with a double quarter pounder or a Big Mac. Feed the whole bunkhouse. And don't forget, you can download the McDonald's mobile app to order ahead and skip the line. Rodeo week is a buckin' bronc, and McDonald's makes it easy to ride on full. North Main and Coffeen Avenue, let's get wild at McDonald's. Want to know what's going on Rodeo Week? Well, check out SheridanMedia.com and go to the Everything Rodeo page presented by Range. You'll see a schedule of activities for the week, entertainment, video interviews, photo galleries, as well as pictures and videos from last year. Keep going back because we'll be adding more pictures, videos, and activities every day. So when you want to know what's happening Rodeo Week, go to the Everything Rodeo page on SheridanMedia.com presented by Range. Live your West life. Official technology sponsor of the Sheridan Wild Rodeo.
It's Rodeo Week Thursday, and if you're itching for a deal, you'll find one right now by clicking on the Hot Buys button on SheridanMedia.com. We have dining certificates from Designing Dinners, Gunslingers, and YO Waffle Company. $15 to $300 gift certificates to places like Bristol Exchange, The Fiber House, Mystic Tree Farm, and Red Shed Redos. All of these items and a bunch more, all starting at 50% off of their retail value. So you can score some amazing deals this rodeo weekend. Just head over to SheridanMedia.com, click on the Hot Buys button, and place your bids.